What's going on, everyone? Another episode of the Three in the Key podcast here. It's myself, Rai Chai. It's what the friends call me. Feel free to do the same. Sitting across from the one and only MD in his beautiful outfit today, my friend.
What's up? What's going on, everyone? Thank you, wifey, for making me look stylish when I don't deserve to. It's literally, she buys all my clothes now. So no matter what kind of shirt or jean or chino pairing I pick, it's always going to look good.
It looks really good. You have like this modern man type of look. That was like something one of my old coworkers actually used to say. He used to call himself the modern man. Shout out KK Swish. I know you still listen. But you have that modern man look right now, and it looks good. Me, on the other hand, I'm rocking the ultra comfortable outfit with the hoodie, backwards hat, sweatpants, and I don't care.
Dude, you're living the engineer life already.
That's true.
What you're wearing right now is exactly what you should wear to your interview. Otherwise, they're not going to think you're a legit engineer, bro.
They probably wouldn't hire me if I was wearing what you were wearing.
You need to wear a hoodie and just like a backwards hat. Yeah. Don't brush your teeth. Just like look whatever, you know?
I don't know if I could go that far, but we'll see. Yeah. I hope one of those interviews come through soon, though, man. I really do.
Dude, I know they will.
Praying for it. Well, on a brighter note, transitioning from unemployment to the Lakers. The Lakers went 3-0, MD, on this most recent stretch here.
Good prediction. Great prediction.
I did get it correct. You started out the month hot going 3-0. And with our most recent predictions, you said they were going to go 2-1. I said 3-0. I was a little hesitant to actually go 3-0.
You were going
to
go 2-1 with me.
I was also
that.
Going to, because I saw OKC, like you, being a tough game to win and the second game of a back-to-back, because the Thunder have been playing so well. CP3 has been the CP3 of old, hitting clutch shots, blah, blah, blah. And then going into this game, I was even more sure that they were going to lose the game because AD's out with his back problems. LeBron's sick. Danny Green's out. So three of our starters are out.
Right.
Like, we're going to lose for sure. And there's no way we win this game. But lo and behold, they beat the Thunder, not just by a little bit, 125 to 110, a 15-point win. It was a freaking blowout from the beginning. So it was a pretty crazy way to go 3-0. But I'm happy because it knots us up in our bet with each other.
Halfway through the month, we're tied. Oh, man.
I know.
Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich on the line. Exciting.
I hope. Okay, well, regardless of who's paying for whose sandwich, we're both going to have a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll be one of Ryan Tries Things segment, and we'll just have it. And you'll hear the nice crunch when you're listening to this podcast for proof. But I'm excited for you to eat that for the first time. It's so good. I dare say it's better than Chick-fil-A.
I keep hearing that from people, and I am so hesitant to believe that because Chick-fil-A is so good in my eyes. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it's just the stigma of Chick-fil-A. Like, it's clean, they're friendly, they're nice.
Yeah.
But maybe there is a chicken sandwich out there that is better. And I'm willing to be proved wrong, but I'm excited to at least try it soon. And I hope it's at the hands of you having to pay for my sandwich at the end of the month. That would be even better. So we'll see.
Chick-fil-A?
Chick-fil-A. All right, MD, so what happened with this 3-0, the last three games? What happened?
The Lakers went on a tear. Not only did you mention the game about the Lakers decimating the Thunder with having three of the starters out, but they also decimated the Mavericks by 15 as well. And I was watching that game. It wasn't even close with AD out and Luka back at full strength with the Mavericks back in the full swing of things. Kuzma stepped in for starting for AD, and he looked amazing. He looked absolutely amazing. That second unit has been on a tear, and same thing with the Knicks-Lakers game as well, where they won by 20. I think after kind of everything that's gone on, the Lakers just needed some rest. And I feel like once we had that little home stretch of resting, everyone got to stay home, and we traveled a little bit, and then coming back, wow, refreshed, new team. I know previously we talked about how the Lakers peaked. I think now we're seeing the Lakers peak. Rondo's playing well. Kuzma's playing well. The cogs are all fitting in this huge machine that Rob Pelinka and Frank Vogel are kind of directing and put together. and I love it. I know last week one of our biggest gripes was about the bench mob, and the bench mob showed up.
Yeah, they did. And sometimes the best fortune for the Lakers or for any team in general can come at the hands of misfortune. And for AD to go out in the Knicks game like he did in the third quarter was terrible. Like,
right.
Seeing him fall like that was
scary,
terrifying.
Yeah,
because it just helped. It makes you realize, and it helps the rest of the team realize, I'm sure as well, that everything can go south very, very quickly. You lose AD for the season, then all of a sudden the Lakers, while they're still good, they have LeBron, they have a decent supporting cast, their ceiling is nowhere near what it's going to be if they have AD and if they're going to win a championship. Essentially, their championship aspirations go out the window if AD's hurt, plain and simple. But to my what I was saying earlier, with the misfortune of AD going out, it's forced these role players to have to step up, get extra minutes, get more reps, maybe increase their confidence because they know if they make a mistake, they're still going to stay in the game because there's really no one else to go to. So you're seeing Kuzma get extra reps, Caruso get extra minutes, Cook, Troy Daniels, and everyone's really stepped up, and it's been really cool to see. But we've also kind of had to eat a little bit of crow for some of the statements we've made with about Kuz and Rondo specifically.
For sure.
But with that said, let's go ahead and transition into this first key about
Quick Kuz. Shout out to my boy Quinn Cook, too, for stepping up last game and got like 13 points in 18 minutes. About time he gets some time, man.
Yeah.
About time he plays.
He's a shooter, man. He can score.
He's really quick. He had a really efficient game, too, and I was just excited to see him on the court. I still don't understand why Frank doesn't play him.
Yeah, there's something there. I don't know if it's defensively, if it's what he's giving up on that end, that Vogel's resistant to play in, but something's going on there. But we'll actually touch on that a little bit more later in this show. But for the first key here, let's talk about Kuz, because I think that's kind of been what most people are gravitating towards, mainly because there's so much narrative surrounding him about, is he going to get traded? Is he even remotely close to being the third option that the Lakers need? And he stepped up in a huge way in these past few games. Let's go ahead and talk about that right now. So the big question, MD, has Kuz control officially been activated? Because Kyle Kuzma is on a tear right now, man. He's averaged over his last three games, he's averaging 26 points, 6 rebounds, and he's shooting 52%. So he's not just getting more shots and as a byproduct getting more points because he's just getting more shots up. He's efficiently converting on his attempts, making over 50% of them. So the big question here is that I think we need to discuss, is this going to continue, or is this just an increase in Kyle Kuzma's trade value to be able to convert really quickly, sell high, and get something better that's going to be more consistent? Do you see it lasting with Kuz?
I don't think so. Like I said, Michael Beasley 2.0. Michael Beasley, at times, when he was at Minnesota, he was originally drafted by Minnesota, I believe. Way back then, he looked like an all-star sometimes. And then other times, he just looked like meh. So we'll see if this is consistent. We'll also see when he moves back to the second unit how this affects his game and how he looks with less minutes and less time and less shots. Did you see the interview that AD did after the OKC game with Rondo?
Yes, I saw that.
It was amazing, right? It's so funny. The play on words was there, but there was definitely truth in it where it's like, without LeBron and AD, wow, that's like, that legitimately is 50 to 60 shots that gets spread out more. But then he also was like, oh, but we still had Kuzma, so there's 38 of those 50 or 75 shots.
Right.
So it's like he, again, will have these spurts of efficiency and will do really well. And then he'll kind of lull back down and we'll see kind of another Kuzma. I don't know. He's still 3 years in, but that's what I see him doing. What was his assist average over the last three games? Do you know?
Not high.
I
mean, it's insignificant.
Right. And he's getting boards a little bit, but those are boards that are just kind of coming down to him since he plays power forward and has to guard a bigger guy.
Sure. So you don't see it sustaining.
I definitely don't see it sustaining. Of course, I want it to sustain.
Of course. Yeah.
Deep down inside, I'm like, please, Kuzma, sustain. But to me, Kuzma is definitely also a player that he needs a ball handler to set him up to be successful, which is why he did so well with Rondo in the lineup, why he does so well with LeBron in the lineup. When it's just kind of him, he kind of just ISOs, and they can just double, and he doesn't kick the ball around, which is, again, my gripe, why he's Michael Beasley 2.0. It's or Carmelo at one point. There's nothing to do other than grab boards and shoot shots.
Sure.
And so when he's in a slump, there's no value there. I also do believe, though, we talked about it on my way here. I gave you a call. I think it's so high now for both Kuzma and Rondo. Rondo, I know we're just talking about Kuz now, but Rondo had two great games as well.
He did. He nearly had a triple-double.
He almost had a triple. He looked like Rondo of old. And the question is, they are great players, and our team is definitely not lacking for talent. But for Rondo and Kuzma to be effective, do they need that many minutes, like a 30 minutes to get in the rhythm of the game, 32 minutes to get a feel of the game? Between 32 to 28 minutes, and we don't have those minutes to give them.
Right.
So, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think we trade them? Do you think they're only effective when they get into that rhythm and have that much time? Because that's what I feel.
I'm really torn on it, to be honest. I'm going to give a really boring take on this and just say I really don't know. Because with Kuzma, you're right. It's legitimate that when he's starting, when he's getting a lion's share of the minutes, he's able to get into this rhythm where he's a totally different player.
Right.
But it almost seems to be he has to be the primary option in order for him to get this efficiency out of his game. And if he's not, then his game gets to a point where he has to make his own shot in order to be successful. And he hasn't shown that he has that consistently yet. So, like I said, he plays off of another playmaker. So, like a Rondo right. In this case. Rondo was the primary playmaker. Kuz was the primary scorer in this game. And they both got into a rhythm where, you know, Rondo was finding him. Kuz was finding a rhythm with Rondo. And he just got hot. And he went off for 36 points or whatever it was. I am still hesitant that he can sustain it. Because I think that when the starters do come back, he's going to go back to being the third option. And he's going to have to go back to having most of his shots being created on his own. And I don't think he's going to be able to convert them at the efficiency that he has now. So all that to say, I feel like I'm talking myself into him, being...
Trade high now.
Trade high, yeah. I think this would be the time, if you're going to do it, you need to start listening to phone calls or making phone calls right now while the stars are out and people are seeing that his value is really high and that he has a lot of production to his name.
I mean, I don't think we could ask for a better time for them to perform so well.
Yeah.
The trade deadline is about a month away.
Yeah, now, I think it's February 7th.
Right. So it's the perfect time for them to play well and to give them as much playing time as they can to show them what they can do if they're starting or on another team. That's why we were so high on Kuz the previous 2-3 years, right? Because he had the lion's shares of the shots. He was the main scorer because B.I. would get injured. Lonzo is a ball handler. He isn't trying to keep the ball, you know? He's trying to help another teammate score. And so I just don't think he fits the system, to be honest.
My concern, and as a follow-up question, would be who would we be getting in return for Kuz that would make us that much better? Like, is there someone, because I really don't know, like, is there someone out there who we trade Kuz for that makes us better than who we are now?
Well, let's go into the next key, because I know you talked about no trade required for our next key. And I think a trade is necessary still. And I think we trade it for another wing defender. Because the first thing, and I've been griping about this for the last few weeks now, the first thing that goes when your athleticism kind of dissipates is your defense. And we're seeing that with LeBron, to be honest. And it's understandable. He's getting tired. He carries so much of the weight on offense or of the game on his shoulders. So we need another wing defender. We need that Iggy. We need a Jay Crowder. We need someone that can 3-and-D, I believe. So, like, another person that was tossed in trades, Robert Covington.
Yeah.
Because he's not happy in Minnesota. Or even, I forgot the player on 76ers that they just acquired from the Heat.
I don't know it.
Josh Richardson. Richardson. Yeah. Another solid defensive player. Yeah. A wing defender.
Right.
Because that's where we're hurting. We only have Avery Bradley and then KCP, which KCP is average defense, maybe slightly above average defense. Mm-hmm. Another person, by the way, who's been performing outstanding and is our best three-point shooter, I believe, right now.
Yes, he is.
KCP.
He is. And he's actually, I just looked, he's the 11th highest.
In the league, right?
Three-point shooter in the league.
Yeah. Yes. He's been destroying, and he just needed some confidence instilled in him. And I think going back to that second unit also helped. You definitely saw him. He plays with the first unit, but going back to the second, not having all that pressure of starting,
yeah,
helped him, you know, perform even better. But yeah, I think that's what we need. And again, not only that, we need a better point guard for the second unit. Rondo's great, but when he doesn't, it's kind of like the law of averages, I feel. When, right, so Kuzma, you're either going to get, he only plays, in order to do well, Kuzma needs 30 minutes. Let's just say that, right?
Yeah.
So we've seen him do well. It's because he gets 30 minutes or a high amount of playing time.
Yeah.
And more consistent playing time. So he's going to be on the floor longer. It's not going to be like 5-10 minute spurts, take a break, 5-10 minute spurts. Instead, it'll be 12 minutes, 14 minutes, and then he takes a break. We need a player on offense for both Kuzma and Rondo that can perform in those 5-10 minute segments instead of someone that needs that long, you know, 14-15 minute time period to average and look better. Because when we just get those 5-10 minute spurts, we either get a good Kyle Kuzma or a terrible Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah.
Same thing with Rondo. We get a good one or a bad one. But when they get a longer amount of playing time and a longer time on the court, it averages out to where they look a lot better because they do have talent. They're great. They're still great players.
Yeah.
And they still can perform at a high level. I mean, just 2 years ago, we saw Rondo do it with the Pelicans. And Kuzma has always performed well each year. But they're not getting that longer amount sustained time to get in a rhythm, to get a feel of the game. It's you're in for 7 minutes, okay, Bron's going in. You're in for another 7 minutes, you're in charge of the offense, perform well. Okay, well, even in those 7 minutes, it's not the same, you know, it's Dwight, it's JaVale, oh, AD comes in for a little bit, and then I don't have shooters, sometimes I do have shooters. So it's like, you can't blame them, but at the same time, they don't fit our system. They can't fit that role player mentality. So I think we do trade, or we go for the Collison, and we do a package for Kuzma and Rondo because they play so well together.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a great trade for a team that can give them more playing time.
Yeah. If we do go the route of trading Kuz, it's absolutely Pelinka saying that we need to win now at all costs.
Right.
Because make no mistake, if we trade Kuz away and we get someone back like a Josh Richardson or a Covington, however that would work in the package, you're getting a player back who's solid and is a great role player and a better role player than Kuzma is, but that player's ceiling is significantly lower and if not already reached. Whereas right. Kuzma, you may see him get traded to a Miami or a Minnesota, wherever, and he just blossoms and he becomes an all-star player. And that's the part that would really suck, because you're like, okay, if we could have just held on to him, maybe he could have, you know, had more time to develop into a more solid role player. But then again, maybe he is the type of player where he's just not ever going to be a role player. He needs to be the guy.
Right.
He needs to be in the starting lineup at all times, no matter what, and he can't produce otherwise. But anyways, all that to say, like, yeah, if this trade does go down, if Kuz gets traded, it's Pelinka saying we're buying into winning now at all costs.
Right. We're buying into fitting a piece that fits us now rather in the future. And I think we've kind of seen that, though. We've faced that heartbreak of losing players that are blossoming now. I can name like five of them off the top of my head, Julius Randle, he just had a monster game last night.
Mm-hmm.
Beat the Heat, a hot team in the East,
yeah,
single-handedly.
I missed that
manhandled
guy.
them. Yeah, D'Angelo Russell, mm-hmm. we saw him blossom in Brooklyn. Lonzo, he's scored like 20 points consistently like these last few weeks mm-hmm. that he's back. B.I. is a monster. Give that guy's 22. Yeah. Give him like three more years, 25.
He's the closest to being an all-star.
Yes, hands down. He actually, I was looking on Reddit. Someone analyzed his shot with the Lakers and analyzed his shot now. His elbows in, his feet are squared up better. He's catching the ball better and getting better lift. Oh, man. No wonder he's shooting so efficiently and playing so much better now.
Yeah.
Josh Hart, again, a solid role player. Moritz Wagner. Oh, my goodness. That guy is a solid role player, and it's only his second year, and mm-hmm. he barely got any playing time last year.
Right.
He's hitting threes for the Wizards. Thomas Bryant.
I was just about to say his name. Yeah.
That guy is a starting center in the East.
He's very good.
And he's like 23, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's destroying out in Washington. It's crazy to me how, I mean, Nwaba. We had David Nwaba. I mean, he got injured, pulled his Achilles, hope he heals up, feels better. But that guy was, I think, starting or like one of
Yeah, during the dark days, seventh. I think he was, yeah.
No, he's starting now for another
team.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I forgot which team he's on, but he's starting or was like sixth or
Is
seventh
he?
Guy off
okay.
the bench.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
He's a key player.
He's a key player. He was barely getting any time here.
Uh-huh.
It's all these players. We're not lacking for an eye and talent. I definitely see that.
Yeah.
But we're seeing them blossom somewhere else, and it's because they're getting more touches, because they just don't fit our system right now, unfortunately.
Right. We'll see what happens. It's going to be very interesting. There's literally just a couple of weeks or a few weeks until the trade deadline. So let's make our predictions. Do you think Kyle Kuzma will be wearing a Lakers uniform come February 8th?
No.
No?
I think we find... I don't know if Pelinka can do it. I believe in him, so I say no.
But so I guess I'll rephrase it. Do you think that Pelinka is wanting to trade Kyle
yes,
Kuzma?
I definitely think Pelinka is wanting to trade Kyle Kuzma because we know, like, he did so well, right, against the Mavericks because we didn't have AD. What happens when AD comes? He's not going to get shots. He's
no.
not going to get that playing time. He's not going to get that much playing time with the first unit.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work. And I think Pelinka knows that. I think we tried it for the first half of the season, albeit he was injured for a good portion of it. But even when he came back, unless he's getting, again, that long extended period of time and not being relegated to a role player and actually being a starter, we're not going to see that Kyle Kuzma. He needs to get starter minutes, and I just don't know if that fits because AD doesn't want to play center. If we played small ball and our style was more like the Golden State or even like those Hawks where we did a ton of ball movement and it literally wasn't just on Bron taking the ball down and making a play happen for everyone, then I could say yes, definitely. I think that's why Golden State was such a phenomenal team and changed the game because they played the game similar to the Spurs did, but they just extended it out to the three-point line. I just watched a highlight the other day. It was on Instagram. I think uh-huh. you probably saw it. Klay Thompson scored like 42 points and took three dribbles.
Jeez.
That's talk about passing the ball and
yeah.
moving the ball around
yeah.
as a team and committing to that. That's not the Lakers. That's not our identity. If that was our identity, heck yeah, keep Kyle Kuzma in.
Mm-hmm.
We would freaking, but that's not who we play. We play old school,
yeah.
big guys, grind it out, get more boards than everyone, play better post defense, than get more blocks, play better post defense, and make them drive. Like, that's our defense. Get on, drive them out, make them force them to the drive, and trust our bigs to, I mean, we have three huge bigs, and one's leading the NBA in blocks, or top three in blocks. And trust our defenders, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
What do you think?
Do I think that he should be traded?
No. What's your prediction? Do you think he'll be traded come February 28th? Or February 8th, excuse me.
I don't think he will be. I think Pelinka is trying to trade him, though. It's so similar to what you're saying.
Right.
I don't think...
You don't think someone's going to bite, though, for a trade? Or you don't think we get something back that's good enough.
Right. I think that a team that's willing to trade to who wants Kyle Kuzma is going to ask for too much, and Pelinka is not going to be willing to make that, pull the trigger on that.
Right.
Because you got to remember, we don't have assets. So
what are you talking about? Troy Daniels, he's so good. Take him, please.
Did you not see his last game? The guy can ball. I don't know. I don't think it happens. I think Pelinka does want to trade him, trade Kuz, though. And let's not forget, Kuz, you know, inadvertently called out LeBron. So
I know. His trainer.
LeBron very well could be like, you know what, just do it. You know, I don't.
Did you see Kuz's Instagram post the other day? They were blowing it up on social media. How, like, he's like, everyone has something to prove. Dwight has something to prove. AD has something to prove. Did he ever say LeBron has something to prove?
Yeah. He did.
What'd he say?
He said LeBron's trying to win a ring in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Was that Kuz's post?
That was Kuz's post.
It was. Okay, yeah. He did say that about Bron, though.
So hopefully, I mean, that means things are great, but I just don't think he's an important cog and something that will make this team, Laker team, even better. Especially when we start getting into the playoffs, when we have to the second units, like Lou Williams, you know, are we just going to keep Avery Bradley out there the entire time? Or the Montrezl Harrell, or the Kawhis and PGs when they start playing the entire time?
Right.
Or James Harden and Russell Westbrook? Are we going to, like, just stick Avery Bradley and KCP? And okay, good luck, boys. There you go. Fingers crossed that, you know, we're gonna win the championship with those two as our best defenders.
Yeah. I think that we're capable of, like, at roster as is, even if Kuz remains on this team, which I don't see there being too much harm in that, to be honest. Like, let's be fair. Like, we're talking about taking a great Lakers team to even better.
Right.
By potentially
trading.
We're
talking about
Kuz.
Going from good to great. We're a great, we're a solid good team that can win a championship with this team. But we want to feel, like you said, I think like a month ago, we want to feel even more confident.
Right.
Like we're still teetering on like, oh, Bucks can take us in seven.
Yeah.
Clippers can beat us in seven, mm-hmm. but with another asset, we're like, no, we for sure can win in a seven game series, even if it goes all the way to seven games.
Yeah. So I think they can do it. It's just a matter of whether or not Pelinka or even, you know, fans like ourselves are willing to say we want it to be even better right now, just in case we get pushed to the brink. We would rather have steady efficiency from someone like a Covington rather than sporadic scoring outbursts from Kuzma. And
right. It's a great mentality to have, and I think it comes from two words, Mamba mentality.
Yeah.
We want to be the best. And so we don't want to have any questions of whether or not we can beat the Bucks, we can beat the Clippers, we can beat the Sixers. We want to for sure be able to beat them. No questions asked. And so we need to make moves to make that happen. And I think the Lakers front office knows that, especially us getting beat by the Clippers twice, you know, in our city. As much as LA wants to be Clipper Town, it's not, you know. It's definitely mm-hmm. still Lakerland, and to get beat twice is not something that any Lakers team should be proud of.
No. They have a big game coming up. I think it's in 2 weeks against the Clippers again.
Right.
And they need to win that game.
It's a must-win to me.
It is. Because PG and Kawhi are likely both going to be playing in that game. The Clippers have a pretty sneaky record right now. It's deceiving because even though they're fifth in the West, they are very – They've only lost a few games when both Kawhi and PG play.
I just literally looked at the rankings 1 through 8. Yeah, they're like something in 15 losses, but the four teams in front of them have 12 losses. So it's not like it's not a big difference at all. Three losses is Kawhi didn't play three games.
Yeah.
PG didn't play three games.
Yeah.
Like they easily could be the one seed in the West. But again, the Clippers are satisfied. I think that's one of the big things Kawhi said. He will take rest over being the number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
He will gladly, because he definitely believes in his own self. And they weren't the one seed.
Right.
Golden State had a better seed than they and better had home court advantage last year in the finals.
They did. The difference with – and this is a similar narrative to what LeBron would have experienced last year if he had made the playoffs. Your mentality coming from the Eastern Conference going into the Western Conference cannot be the same, because you're going to get torn apart in the first or and second round if you make it that far, if you're just willing to kind of coast through the regular season. Because there's a big difference between being matched up against the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round and the Dallas Mavericks, you know.
Definitely.
You're going to be given one heck of a series if you match up against Dallas compared to if you go against Memphis. You're going to sweep Memphis. Maybe one game, but
that boy Ja's good,
yeah,
though.
He's very good.
So good. He's very good. Everyone, like, I follow him on IG, and like all the all-stars are like hyping him up and commenting, like Kyrie, KD, everyone. That guy is amazing. I'm so stoked to see him. He's a lock for rookie in the year. Like, I don't know a better rookie.
No, with Zion missing, even if Zion comes back today, like he's missed too much of the season to get votes, you know.
Even then, like, to be honest, Zion's going to be a great dunker. I want him back for the dunk contest, and that's pretty much it. He'll be a great dunker, get some highlight plays, but he's not going to affect the game like Ja does, because he's not going to have the ball in his hand as much as he does, you know?
True. He's must-watch television.
Oh, my goodness. And he doesn't even have, like, an NBA body yet.
No.
Like, wait till he gets, like, bigger and stronger. Yeah. Oh, man. You see Kyrie's back?
Yeah, he's back on
20
Sunday,
minutes,
right?
20 points.
Yeah.
Dang, good for Brooklyn.
I miss seeing Kyrie play, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
His game is ridiculous.
He is athletic without being athletic, you mm-hmm. know? Like, his crazy finishes and everything, that is an athletic, but it's not the usual athletic prowess that you see with someone going and dunking the ball or getting up for a block.
Right.
It's his finishing. It's so crazy.
He's
that
so
guy
smooth.
Literally just... I'm sure he spent hours just finishing at different angles to figure out how much spin he needs and what he needs to do, depending where, if he's on the left side, right side, underneath, how deep under the basketball court he is. It's crazy. I love it.
Yeah, he's amazing. It's good to have him back, because the league is better when he's playing, just quite frankly.
Agreed.
All right, so I think we're both agreeing a trade isn't necessary, but it has the potential to make this team a heck of a lot better, just due to volatility and our output decreasing and just having a little bit more of a steady team makeup. We'll see what happens. If Kuz is a Laker come February 9th, I think you'll be surprised. I'm on the fence, but we'll see what happens. All right, so let's go ahead and transition into our third and final key, MD. We're officially at the midseason mark. Can you believe it? We are halfway through the 2019-2020 NBA season.
And we're the second best team in the league.
Second best team in the league, number one team in the Western Conference. You know, let's just
who would have thought?
Take a step back for a moment and just reflect on that, because there were a lot of question marks coming. Like, we knew the Lakers would be good, but there was a lot of question marks about whether or not the Lakers would be
this good
and would separate themselves in the Western Conference to this extent. Some people said no. Some people said that the Clippers would run away with it. Some people said Houston's still too good and they're going to put up a lot of three-point shots and it's going to be able to outpace the Lakers' inside dominance. But we're seeing so far LeBron and AD's chemistry is clicking from day one, and opponents don't really have an answer for it. So let's discuss three things here. Let's talk about what's working so far at the midseason mark, what needs to change, and then what's been the biggest surprise. So I'll let you go ahead and lead this first one off with what is working. What do you think has been working so far?
Easy. Our defense. Our switch back to get a ton of big men. Let's grind it on the post. Let's, on defense, don't give up many threes. Force those defenders to drive in. Stay locked to everyone on screens. Trust that our big men are going to come in and get your back as a wing defender, as a perimeter defender. Have that confidence in them. To me, that's – Frank did a great job. Good job, Frank. You make great dogs, and you make an amazing defensive scheme, because you have definitely instilled it in the Lakers, and they're buying in, and it's us leading us to, 27-7, second best in the league standing. It's amazing.
Yeah. I'm not going to overthink it. Frank makes great Franks and makes great defensive teams.
Yes.
So, yes, defense is the number one what's working for this team, hands down. We're forced to be reckoned with. Teams are scared to go inside against the Lakers, and it shows. All right, what needs to change for the Lakers? I'll lead this one off. In my opinion, the Lakers need consistency at the point guard position. And Rajon Rondo is serviceable. Alex Caruso is a heck of a player, but he's a role player. And I think to see him as more than that is unfair to his game, even as good as it is. But Rajon Rondo isn't the answer for this team, and I think that we desperately need consistency at the point guard position so that whoever that player is in for us isn't going to be a liability on the offensive end where people can just sag off of him and just give up
Right.
a shot like Rondo.
And then we just have to hope that he's having a great shooting day to hit those threes.
Yeah, because he's a good NBA player. Like he has the resume. He's been in
Right.
clutch moments. He can hit big shots. If he had the ball in his hand, you would never want him to have the ball in his hand. But if he had
Yeah.
it, he's not gonna have like the jitters of taking the shot, you know?
Right.
But I think that we desperately need a point guard to make this team take it over the hump. Even more so than a wing player, in my opinion, is having consistency at that position. And that's why I think Darren Collison could be a
The
huge
answer.
answer, the answer for this team. So I hope it does happen. Not AI, but just the in lowercase letters. Don't capitalize the T, don't capitalize the A. He's just
You
the
knew
answer.
I gave you the look and you
You
knew
did.
exactly
Yeah,
what I was thinking.
you're like, don't speak blasphemy.
Yeah.
All right, so that's what I'm saying. It'd be the point guard position. How about for you? What needs to change for the Lakers team?
To me, what needs to change is 3-point shooting. It's getting better, but it's not top 10 still. And to me, all the best teams in the NBA have top 10 3-point shooting.
Yeah.
We're seeing it across the board. You need to be a good 3-point shooter and have consistency from multiple sides, from multiple units, first and second starters and second unit, in order to kind of separate yourself or get yourself back into a game.
Sure.
So to me, that means, again, the answer could be Darren Collison. He shot a pretty good 3-pointer. Or it could mean getting that wing defender, that solid 3-and-D wing defender, like Andre Robertson used to be, or a Covington, or Josh Richardson, what all those players provide, you know. I would love to have that.
Yeah, that's a good point. The role players have been stepping up in that area.
For sure, it's definitely
It's
improved.
improving, but I
It's still
absolutely agree. It
not.
needs to be consistent. And
Yeah.
it's not for a lack of talent either.
At all. We have, remember, I mean, Danny Green's out of a slump, so that's helping, but it's still not there where he's consistent, you know?
Right. All right, the last question here. What has been the biggest surprise thus far in the regular season as we've reached the halfway mark? Anything come to mind off the top of the head for you, or do you want me to take it first?
Go ahead, you first.
All right, for me, it's Dwight Howard.
I was gonna say that
I was
too.
giving you a chance
Oh,
to say it
dang
first,
it. Come on,
man.
snake in a can.
Snakes in a can. Dwight, man, I mean, it doesn't really need to be explained. The man was out of the league. It was towards the very end of the free agency when all acquisitions had been made. Any team could have picked him up.
I know. I love that guy now, man.
And he is a staple, if not one of the key faces of this team. Like, is that's not too far
No,
to say,
he's a
right?
key. No, he's definitely a key face of this team. I think every podcast, Lakers podcast, or when you talk about the Lakers, you talk LeBron, AD, and I'm dare say Dwight's maybe. I mean AC. Sorry,
Yeah,
Alex Caruso comes up first,
true.
and then Dwight. You know,
Yeah.
he's definitely top four names dropped for sure. Shout out to Dwight too for liking our IG post.
Oh, wow.
Dude,
How did we
love
not
that
talk about
man.
that earlier?
That is also why he's probably the biggest surprise, because he surprised us liking our posts. When I saw that, dude, I freaked out. I was next to T and I was like, babe, Dwight Howard, babe, I couldn't even speak. And she's like, slow down, drink some water, let's use your words, you're a big boy.
Yeah.
And then I explained it to her. She's like, no way, that's crazy. And then I called you immediately. I was like, I don't know what you're doing. You're like running groceries or something,
No,
running
I was
errands.
walking into Taco Bell. Literally. You're like, what are you doing, bro? I'm like, oh, I'm walking into Taco Bell right now. You're like, yeah, it sounds like a normal
Oh yeah, totally. And then yeah, that's right. You were at Taco Bell, and I was like, Dwight like our pose, dude. Look at it. And you're like, what? Really? You don't. I felt like you didn't believe me for a second.
I didn't, because I was skeptical that maybe it was just like this
Dwight Howard fan 81.com. Yeah.
Dwight Howard spelled with the number one for the I. Like, all right. But I looked at him like, yep, he's got the blue check mark. He's verified.
Yeah, it was awesome. 2 million
followers. Dude, that's sick though. He liked one of our photos. So yeah,
so
shout
happy.
Out to Dwight. Biggest
so
surprise
happy,
faux show. Love you, Dwight.
Love all right,
man.
Dwight.
How about for you? Biggest surprise of the season so far, MD.
Biggest surprise has definitely been how well LeBron and AD have taken together so quickly. Like, I don't think anyone in the NBA thought, I mean, everyone knew we'd be good. Everyone knew I'd say we'd be top five in the NBA, but to be debatable for maybe the best in the NBA, the best team, or 1-2 consistently halfway through the season, we are easily in the conversation for best team. To me, it's between us, Bucks, and that's it right now. And it's so, like, to see the pairing dominate consistently, night in, night out. That was surprising at how well and how fast it could be. I definitely say it's championship or bust this season, especially because the NBA has so much parity now, though, with all-stars all over the Western Conference. Yeah. I did not expect them to be not only the first seed, but the first seed by 5 losses. Like, we have only 7 losses. The next team has 12. That's huge. That's a major, major, major difference.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anyone could have expected that. And LeBron's resurgence as the best player in the NBA right now.
Washed King.
Yeah, he is the best player in the NBA, hands down, right now.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm eating crow on this too, because last week on our pod, I'm pretty sure I said I'm giving the nod to Kawhi as the best player in the league.
I think we both kind of agreed after the Lakers lost that Kawhi is the best player in the league.
Were we just angry?
I think we were just very emotionally distraught. Yeah. Kawhi is definitely in the debate. But right now, because of LeBron's consistency and not taking breaks, he's the best player in the league. I would say Kawhi's better defensively, but overall, LeBron is the best player. Because Kawhi can't pass like LeBron does.
Yeah, I take back my statements. I wasn't thinking clearly. You know, it's just like one of those emotional moments in a relationship. You say something, shout it. You shouldn't have shouted it. And you just wake up in the middle of the night one night. You're like, ooh, why did I say that? I can't believe I said that. Out of character. Kawhi, you are not the best player in the league. Let's be clear about that. LeBron James is the best player, hands down, in the NBA right now. The man doesn't take nights off unless he absolutely needs to. If he played through flu-like symptoms the last game, and there are many other games where he could have sat, and he didn't.
Yeah, but Jordan and Kobe have done it, and they scored like 60 and won in a playoff game. Show me that when it's a game that matters.
I know, but for the sake of arguing LeBron over Kawhi right now. It annoys me that I did say those words with Kawhi having missed as many games as he has.
I definitely agree to that. And I think we're going to eat further crow right now, because the Lakers have creeped into the top 10 for 3-point percentage for the NBA.
Wow, that's a surprise.
That, I think, was the biggest thing that needs to change. And they've kind of changed. I mean, it's by like 0.1. So above the Lakers are the Wizards, which I don't think it should be the Wizards, at 36.2. The Lakers are at 36.1, and the Memphis is below them at 36% overall. So it's like very tight. I think they can further improve onto that to get out of the 36 to the 37, 38 range. But beggars can't be choosers, and we're still top 10 in the NBA right now. And
hey,
I'll take it.
We'll take it. We'll take it. It can change quickly. We got shooters. If they can remain somewhat consistent and not just outright suck most nights, then we should be able to be in the top 10 at the end of the season.
Oh, for sure.
All right, midseason is here, and second half of the season is upon us. So let's go ahead and wrap this one up, MD. Let's do a little bit of predictions real quick. We're, like we mentioned earlier at the top of the episode, we're both sitting at 5-1, tied for our January predictions. So let's make our predictions for this upcoming week. We got 3 games. Monday night, which is tonight, against Cleveland at home. We got Orlando on Wednesday at home. And then Saturday kicks off a 5-game road trip at Houston. So a big one on Saturday.
Wow.
All right, MD, you want to go? Want to do the honors first, or do you want me to?
I can go first. I am going to say the Lakers go 3-0.
Ooh.
I mean, the Cleveland Orlando games. If we lose,
yeah,
I'm gonna get emotional again and say LeBron isn't the best player in the NBA.
Jordan Clarkson is the best player in the NBA.
I don't even think that guy's on Cleveland anymore. I'd be like, K-Love is the best power forward ever.
Oh, yeah. Clarkson got traded. I forgot.
Yeah, to Utah.
That's right. That's right.
And then if we lose to Orlando, I'd be like, Markel Fultz is the future. He's Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba.
Three and oh, though.
I'm 3-0. That Houston game will be close. And they've been playing really well as of late.
Mm-hmm.
I know everyone was like, wow, how come they had a really slow start to the season? But now I think they're third in the league, third or fourth. Or second. Oh, I think they're – no, Denver's second.
Yeah.
But everyone's tied, like I said, like three through six.
It's clustered,
all
man.
Are tied. You want to look at it real quick?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. So Denver, you're right, Denver is second. And Houston is four. But they're
all have
only half a game out of the second.
Right. So basically, all have the same losses. It's just Denver's played one more game and has one more win.
Yeah. Seeds 2 through 5 are separated by half a game.
Right. Exactly. That my point exactly. Like, it's crazy. And Houston, what has their last 10 games been? What's the record?
They are 7-3.
Woo.
They're a really good home team, as most teams are, but they're 14-4 at home and 12-8 on the road. And so, but the Lakers are, I think they have the best
record.
Road record, right?
Yeah, the in road the Warriors for sure.
So you're saying the Lakers will win that game?
Yes, it'll be a tight game, but I'm definitely going to give it to the Lakers. I don't think the Russ-Harden combination is great, but I don't think they've fully figured out how to maximize its potential.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you see Harden has the ball, like, Russ does nothing. He literally just stands on the perimeter. And we're like, Russ, please don't take a three.
Yeah.
Please do not take a three.
Yeah. True, true. All right, I'm going to go ahead and say we go 2-1. We're dropping Houston. IMO.
Ooh.
I hope it
I can see it, though, because it's like the first
of
game
course.
On the road.
Here's and here's a little bit more
but
of my thinking.
I will
it
say
too.
That's a long break, Wednesday to Saturday.
It is. Here's a little bit more of my thinking behind it as well. So I don't expect AD to play tonight in Cleveland.
I don't think
I know
he's
listed
play
as questionable.
In Cleveland or Orlando. If he plays in Houston, I say we're winning. If he doesn't play, I think we're going
to
lose.
I think he's going to play in Houston for sure.
Yeah, he has to.
I think he's actually going to be I'm guessing. I think he's back for the Orlando game just to get some run in before a big game in Houston. But I think that the adjustment from like what we mentioned earlier with Kuz taking a back seat and the role players kind of having to get readjusted to both star players being back is going to be a little bit tough for a huge game like Houston.
You
and
think
I,
it's going to throw them out of sync?
I think
just
it might
temporarily.
Throw them a little bit out of sync, especially since it's on the road. Hope I'm wrong, but 2-1 for me. I'm saying we're dropping Houston, and you say 3-0. So next week at this time, there will be a new leader in our prediction rankings because, you know, we're not picking the same things here. All right, MD, with that, actually, you know what? Did we have something else planned or no?
I think, did you want to talk NFL just because it's been crazy or are you ready to close out?
Yeah, let's talk a little in. Real quick.
Okay.
Okay, there's four teams left. I'm not a huge NFL guy, but I've started to watch a lot recently just for the playoffs. The four teams left are the Niners, the Titans, the Packers.
Titans' biggest surprise
yes.
so far.
Who's the fourth one?
It is, they just won last night. They beat Seattle.
Green Bay. Well, I said that. I said Green Bay, Niners,
Packers.
Titans.
Oh, Chiefs.
Chiefs. Okay.
Sorry.
Of those.
That was a crazy game. Did you watch the games yesterday? Did you get to like,
I did.
Watch highlights?
I watched the end of the Green Bay and Seattle game. And
Seattle, to me, Seattle games, you don't need to watch till the second half because they're always trash until the second half.
They
literally legitimately were down like 28-3. And
wow.
They came back to make it 23-28, and it was crazy. Like they or 23-25 or no 28 at one time, and they had the opportunity. I don't think last night that first down, to me, is definitely not a first down. Also, I have the biggest gripe with the NFL. They only showed us one side. Like, they only showed us a camera side from one side of the ball. You're the NFL, a billion-dollar industry. Do you not think of having cameras on both sides of the field so that you can look at the other side to get a perfect angle to see if he was down or not before? Because it looked like he was clearly down and tackled before the first down mark.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It was really weird.
But they're like, no, let's give him like 2 extra yards. I don't know. But everyone's like, one of the biggest things too that people talk about in the NFL is the Packers at home always get like a legitimate home field advantage where like they're given an extra yard or two every time.
Interesting. Well, yeah, that home crowd is ridiculous. The refs probably don't want to get murdered on the way back to their car.
I'm sure. Well, because the home crowd is literally the owners of the team.
Yeah. Okay, of those four, who do you think end up matching up in the Super Bowl?
So
the matchups are Niners and Green Bay.
Correct.
And then Titans and Chiefs. All right, so let's start with Titans, Chiefs. We'll make these our two predictions, and then we're closing out because we're not NFL guys. All right, Titans, Chiefs, who's winning?
Titans.
Wow, I am surprised you thought about it that long. All right, I'm saying Chiefs are winning.
Dude, Titans have consistently been, especially, did you see the Chiefs game, though? They were down 24.
24-0.
And they still came back and destroyed.
It was like, five consecutive TDs?
Patrick Mahomes, jeez, man. But I'm going to say it's going to be different because the Tennessee Titans run the ball and eat so much clock. You're not going to see a game with 51 points again, 51-24. Because the Titans get 24 points overall. You had two quarterbacks that literally mirror each other. One just had better role players around them, I believe, and a better defense. Because Deshaun Watson is very similar to Patrick Mahomes. So I think with this new influx of this amazing defense, Tennessee defense has been so good lately. Just eating up the clock on offense, running the ball. I think this influx of old school football will kind of win out. And we'll see the Titans face the Niners.
The Niners are
so good. The defensive front, I mean, they get a pass rush with just 4 defensive players, like a normal 4 front, normal like 4-3. They're fine. Yeah. Like, it's crazy.
I know. I'm taking the Niners in that game as well.
Yeah. I think the Packers shouldn't have even made it. And I'm not the biggest Aaron Rodgers fan, so.
It's all right. It's all right.
Even though AD is a big Packers fan.
It's true. That's true. But, you know, just because AD likes him doesn't mean we have to.
Right.
Super Bowl prediction? Who wins it all?
Niners.
Ooh, Cali team. I like that.
Yeah, I will definitely stay loyal to Cali. The Niners are so good. They're so good when everything, like George Kittle is a beast.
Yeah, he is. Kibble and bits.
Yeah. I don't think they have like a really good number one receiver, but when you have a great tight end and a great running back and their defense. Defense wins championships, and they have the best defense in the NFL.
Good point. I'm taking Chiefs.
Really?
Yeah, I'm taking Chiefs.
You know, a San Francisco Chiefs Super Bowl would be a lot more fun. But I just want to go for the underdog. Like, I'm rooting for Tennessee because no one thought they would get this far, dude.
I'll be rooting for Tennessee, too.
But I think Chiefs are going to destroy them.
Come on now. You predict the Titans.
Because, of course.
This guy.
I totally want the Titans, and I'm predicting Titans, but I would like to see a Chiefs, Niners Super Bowl. That'd be fun.
You're internally conflicted.
I am very conflicted because the Chargers aren't in it.
Yeah,
unfortunately,
that's true.
You've slowly gotten me into Rams. I mean, NFC, so I'll root for an NFC team, but they were both trash this year. So
true. All right, well, with that, MD, let's go ahead and close this one out. We're going to go watch the college football championship game.
Who do you got for that?
Who is it, Clemson? I know nothing about college. Clemson, LSU? Dude, I haven't watched one college game this year. Maybe one.
I mean, you've seen highlights on IG, right? Dude, yeah. They're both so good.
All right. Clemson, who was it?
LSU.
LSU. Give me LSU.
Oh, okay. I'll root for Clemson. I was going to pick Clemson anyway. I love Dabo Sweeney or Dabo Smith. Or I forgot his name. But just to have a name. I know. Just to have the name Dabo is so cool. Sick,
yeah. Like, yeah, who needs a last name?
Okay, have you seen him dance with his – he legitimately gets down with his players, and I love that.
He's sick.
He's a total cool guy.
Shout out Dabo.
Ed Ogeron's amazing, though, too. But beside the point, let's go Clemson. You'll root LSU. Let's go watch the game.
Let's go, dude. All right, guys. Have a good week. Talk to you next week. Go Lakers.
Go Lakers.